Before he succeeded the Nameless One as Dark Lord and Prince of Evil, King Mordak had acquired a justly deserved reputation as the greatest proponent of liberal social reform in the history of goblinkind. True, he was the greatest goblin reformer in the same way that the sun is the hottest star in the solar system, or seven is the biggest whole number between 6 and 8. But his agenda had been ambitious, and he'd given it everything he'd got. Under the banner of New Evil, he'd come a long way in a short time, although he was painfully aware that there was still an even longer way to go before he could declare victory in any credible sense. Getting the Dark Lordship had, naturally, put a bit of a crimp in things. There had to be a period of consolidation. The honeymoon hadn't lasted long. He'd barely seated himself on the Iron Throne. His feet didn't quite touch the floor. He had the engineers looking into that. When the infighting started in earnest. Wraiths against trolls. Dark elves siding with the revisionist faction of the undead against the Earl King. And the kobolds, the Queen of the Fae, shamelessly pulling every string in sight to get herself appointed to the vacant chair on the finance committee. Sorting all that out had taken a long time, and rather too much of his reserves of mental and spiritual energy. And while his attention was elsewhere, the goblin old guard had been quietly gnawing away at everything he'd managed to get done in the last 10 years of patient, agonizingly slow effort. Take, for example, his flagship universal healthcare program. "No," he said, "and that's final." The chair goblin of the Apothecaries Guild scowled at him.
"It's traditional."
"I know. That's why it's got to stop. From now on, you get paid in money, or not at all." There was an awkward silence. From time immemorial, goblin surgeons and apothecaries had been remunerated in the old-fashioned way. A flat fee of 5 pence if they cured the patient, or the carcass if they didn't.
"Where's the incentive in that?"
the chair goblin said angrily.
"Threepence an hour, regardless of whether they get better or not. I mean, why bother?"
Mordak counted to 5 under his breath. "All your patients die," he pointed out, "and then you eat them. Admit it, that's not an ideal system." The chair goblin was shocked.
"That's social responsibility, that is," he said. "By weeding out the sick and infirm, we're making an invaluable contribution to the future of the species."
"Threepence an hour," Mordak said firmly. "And no more amputations for ingrowing toenails. You want drumsticks, you buy them in the market like everybody else. Next." Next was the Defence Committee. Mordak glanced at the agenda and sighed. "All right," he said. "Would somebody care to explain to me why we're at war with the dwarves again?" A thick-set goblin in troll-scale armour shuffled his feet.
"They started it."
"Of course they did. What did they do this time?" The goblin stuck out his chest.
"They failed to comply with an ultimatum to evacuate grid section 34992/XP/239 by the date specified."
"Fine." Mordak unrolled a map and peered at it. It was a sad but undeniable fact that the dark eyesight wasn't getting any better as time went by. The humans, so he'd heard, had these bits of
ground glass you stuck in your eye and it helped you see better. Sounded promising. Goblins had something similar, of course, but designed to achieve the opposite effect. Hold on, he said. Did you say 239?
Sir.
According to this map, that's the guest wing of King Drain's palace. The goblin shrugged.
It's directly above one of our main supply tunnels, he said. If they were to neglect it and it all caved in, our ability to transport vital material from the depot to the frontline tunnels would be seriously compromised.
Just a second. Mordak fiddled about with a ruler and a pair of dividers. By directly above, you mean separated by 1,000 feet of solid rock.
Solid at the moment, sir, the goblin said. All it'd take would be a bit of water erosion and some tectonic shift, and we'd be staring disaster in the face. Much better to act now, sir, from a position of relative strength.
Mordak closed his eyes for a moment.
Oh, come on, he said.
We've only just managed to patch things up after the last war. They wiped the floor with us. I did say relative strength, sir. Who knows, in 5,000 years' time, they could be 10 times stronger than us, instead of just 3 like they are now. That's why we should strike now, sir, while we've got the chance.
Scribe. A bored-looking elf, sprawling in a chair to his left, took a pencil from behind her ear.
What?
Write a nice, polite letter to King Drain, reassuring him that we have no hostile intentions and that we hope he wasn't unduly alarmed by our April Fool's message.
It's September.
Backdate it. The elf shrugged and went back to her newspaper. That was one area, at least, in which he could reasonably claim to have succeeded. There were now elves living, for longer than 10 minutes, and working in Goblin Land, performing such essential administrative functions as reading, writing, and adding up, and making a valuable contribution to Goblin society. True, they were, if anything, even more insufferable than they'd been before the Great Rapprochement. There's nothing like living and working with a species, they delighted in saying, for confirming all your deeply entrenched prejudices. But at least they were here, tolerated and uneaten. And someone was doing the paperwork and telling him where he was supposed to be and when.
All right, Mordak said to the defence goblins. You lot clear off. And try not to start any more wars without at least telling me. Next.
Ah, yes. The civil engineering program. New roads, bridges, infrastructure of all kinds. Just what was needed to create jobs and boost sustainable economic growth.
What do you mean you've stopped work?
The chief engineer shrugged.
Can't get the materials.
For a road? Oh, come on.
It's not just any road, is it?
The engineer retorted.
It's a road from the State Ordnance Factory to the principal supply depot at Ganesh Gavork.
I know that. It's so we can move cartloads of iron ore on the flat, instead of having to go up 3 levels and then back down again.
Ah, said the engineer. But if you look at the map, see, there's this half-mile section here that goes straight past the Royal Palace, right?
Well, yes. I don't mind. Roads have got to be built. I'm not one of those not-in-my-backyard whiners who...
Yes, Your Majesty, but with all due respect, you're missing the bloody point.
If it goes past the palace, you might walk on it.
Mordak's head was starting to hurt.
There is that chance, yes. So?
So, said the chief engineer, everybody knows the king of the goblins tramples on the bleached bones of his mortal enemies. It's traditional. You can't just go walking about on tarmac. You've got your royal dignity to think of.
Yes, but
so, the engineer ground on, if we're going to build this stupid road, it's got to be bones. And the thing of it is, there just aren't enough of them to go round. You aren't executing enough mortal enemies, all due respect. So either you start chopping off a few more heads, or we're going to have to reroute to bypass the palace area altogether, which'll mean digging 7 miles through solid rock and coming out here.
He stabbed at the map with a splintered four-talon.
Which is 3 levels down. So you'd need a bloody great big embankment here. And if you're going to have to do all that, I ask you, where's the bloody point?
Mordak looked down at his hand. He'd just bitten clean through one of his own claws.
Never mind. You know what? He said. You're quite right.
I am?
Yes. And I'm a fool not to have thought of it before. Silly me. What we need, obviously, is a whole lot more executions.
The engineer grinned.
Now you're talking. There's the Highways Committee, for a start. Chop the lot of them and who'd ever notice?
Quiet, Mordak said. But that's still only, what, 30 yards worth of bones? Whereas your department, just offhand, round numbers, how many goblins have you got working for you in construction? Yourself included. Got to be at least 7,000. That's, let me see, best part of 0.5 mile. We should cover the stretch of road that goes past the palace just nicely.
Yes, but, Mordek smiled.
I know, he said. You're going to point out that you and your colleagues are my mortal enemies, and therefore not suitable for deployment as road-making material. Isn't that right?
The engineer seemed to be having difficulty speaking, but he could still nod his head.
That's what I thought, Mordak said. Because in order for someone to be my mortal enemy, he'd have to do something to get me seriously annoyed, like making difficulties or deliberately holding up one of my pet projects, or not doing as he's damn well told. Agreed?
Anything you say, boss.
Which you would never dream of doing, it goes without saying. So that's fine. Oh, and by the way, did I ever tell you how I feel about concrete?
Boss,
I hate concrete. One of these days I'm going to have all the concrete in Goblin Land rounded up, stood against a wall, and shot. And then I'm going to dance on its shattered rubble. Get the picture?
Absolutely.
Good man. Down with concrete. Death to aggregates. 2, 4, 6, 8, they're the stuff we really hate. Now get on with it. Next.
Next was the president of the Equality Commission. And he had to admit, just for once, here was someone in charge of something who'd actually made an effort. Just, perhaps, a trifle misguided.
It says here, Mordak said, you've had 940 goblins arrested and their feet cut off.
Is that right? 946.
I stand corrected.
Out of interest.
Why?
they weren't equal.
You know that feeling of having just walked into a plate glass door.
Excuse me.
It says in the Universal Declaration of Goblin Rights, the President said patiently, henceforth all goblins are to be equal. Well, they weren't.
Huh?
Too tall. So we shortened them a bit. The mean average height of an adult goblin is 49.7 inches, so...
Ah, Mordak nodded.
So, presumably, the reason why you locked up 8,000 goblins in a dungeon with no food for a month... The President nodded.
Too heavy. The mean average weight, yes, all right.
Mordak drummed his fingers on the arm of his chair.
And the ones you had squashed between two huge slabs of stone were too wide. I think I get the picture.
May I ask, what definition of equal are you using as your point of reference?
The President frowned.
You told me look it up. So I did. It means being the same in quantity, size, or amount. So I looked up size, and it said,
Mordak took a strangely shaped metal object from the baggy sleeve of his black robe, polished it on his cuff, and balanced it carefully on the arm of the throne.
Come on, Snurg. It's me you're talking to. I know you. You're doing this to be awkward, aren't you?
What? Me? Oh, perish thee.
You and all the rest of them. You don't like the reform package. You've never really got behind the core values of New Evil. And you're trying to make me look like an idiot. Well?
The President looked at the metal thing, then at Mordak, then back at the thing.
All right, so me and some of the lads don't hold with all this new stuff. But we're loyal goblins. Dead loyal. We're just doing like you said, honest.
Snurg, I wouldn't trust you if we were sitting under a clock and you told me the time. The question I always ask myself before I appoint someone to high public office is this man more scared than Bolshe?
I think I may have misjudged you, old friend, he smiled.
I admire you for that. You've got to take your hat off to someone who's prepared to die horribly for what he believes is right.
Ah, honest, boss, I never...
Of course, Mordak went on, picking up the metal thing and turning it slowly in his hand as if trying to find the sweet spot. If I could convince myself that you were capable of true, sincere cowardice, not just a bit frightened, but genuinely terrified out of your...
He paused and glanced down. A dark, treacly pool had appeared around the President's feet, and Mordak could smell the sharp fumes of dissolving marble. He nodded and put the metal thing back in his sleeve.
In that case, he said, I might feel justified in giving you a second chance. Well, what do you reckon?
Oh, I think so, boss, the President whimpered. I mean, why not? Just for the hell of it.
Quiet.
Mordak gave him a warm smile.
In that case, I suggest we start by amending Article 1 of the Declaration, so that it says something like equal rights and opportunities for all goblins, regardless of age, size, rank, gender, or religious preference. How would that be?
Boss?
What?
Sorry, boss, but you can't do that.
Mordak sighed.
You're being brave again, Snurg,
He pulled the object a little way out of his sleeve, just far enough so that the torchlight could play on its burnished steel.
In fact, not just brave, but downright bloody heroic. Now, what did you just say?
You can't do it, boss.
The president screwed his eyes closed and braced himself.
Sorry.
I see. Why not?
You can't promise equality regardless of gender, boss. We haven't got any females.
Ah.
Mordax sat back in his throne, frowning. He'd been quoting, of course, or rather paraphrasing, from the Elvish Declaration of Superiority. But goblins practice parthenogenic reproduction, fishing their newly spawned offspring out of bubbling vats of beige goo with very long tongues and confining them in fortified rearing pens until their acne cleared up. Hence, no female goblins. It was a good system. It worked.
All right, then. Regardless of age, size, rank, and religious what's-it, no worries. Go away and see to it, there's a good lad. And send someone out here with a mop and some potash.
The president tottered unsteadily away. Mordak sighed, took the egg whisk from his sleeve, turned the crank a few times, and listened to the whir of the blades. It was an artifact of human origin, he knew that. But unlike anything he'd seen before. The scouts had told him it came from one of the new human settlements far away on the south bank of the Great River, near the dreadful Tower of Snorfang. Apparently you used it for making meringues, though what it could do that a bundle of the desiccated neck sinews of your mortal enemy tied together with a bit of wire couldn't, he was at a loss to guess. He put it carefully back in its cardboard box and stowed it under the throne.
No women.
Yes, it was a damn good system. It had served the goblin race well for millennia. It worked. Ever since he'd started the New Evil Project, basing his reforms on measures successfully adopted by other species and other cultures, he'd gradually come to the conclusion that goblins weren't like most life forms. He wasn't quite sure he could put his claw on what made them so different. Sure, there were the obvious, superficial things, the cannibalism, the mindless aggression, the loathing for sunlight, the 3-inch fangs. But he knew it went deeper than that. Loyal goblin though he was, he couldn't help thinking that his species was incomplete somehow. That goblin kind was missing out on something it needed, if it was ever to take its proper place among the mature liberal societies of the sunlit world. For a long time he'd worked on the assumption that it was intelligence. And it wasn't a bad hypothesis at that, because goblins could be incredibly stupid at times, to the point where it made his head hurt, wondering how they'd managed to survive so long. But his studies of dwarves, humans, and elves, especially elves, had made him realize that crass stupidity wasn't an exclusively goblin attribute. Yes, goblins could be pig-headed at times, and dog-headed, and goat-headed, and there was that colony out on the Freep River, whose inhabitants had made him swear never to eat cheese late at night again. But generally speaking, they had a modicum of basic common sense, and definitely knew which side their shin bones were larded on. So, If it wasn't brains, what was it? Could it possibly be... No, that was just plain silly. What possible difference could it make if you were hauled out of a goo vat rather than squeezed out of the guts of a fellow goblin? If anything, surely it was a sign of superiority, because the other way of doing it, he was a bit hazy about the details, but it sounded downright yuck. How could something so primitive and, well, let's not mince words, barbaric, possibly constitute an advantage? Quite. He shivered and drank a skull of water to settle his stomach. Just then the door behind the throne opened and his secretary came in, holding a big folder of papers. "Oh," she said, "you're still here. You can get used to elves eventually, if you try hard enough."
"Tinituvial," he said.
"Tell me everything you know about non-parthenogenic reproduction." She raised one gossamer-thin eyebrow. "Certainly not."
"Fine. Tell me everything you know about females."
"Are you feeling all right?"
"Broadly speaking, do you think they're a good thing?"
"Elves, by the same token, can get used to goblins. It just takes longer, and why would they want to?"
"You've been thinking again, haven't you?"
He stuck his tongue out at her.
"Of course I have. I'm an intellectual. Thinking is what I do."
"Of course it is."
"Thank you."
She smiled at him.
"It's just a pity you're so bad at it. Still, that doesn't alter the fact that you try."
She sat down beside him and pushed a dozen or so sheets of parchment at him. "Sign."
"All right. What am I signing?"
"Bits of paper."
"Fair enough."
He took the pen and scrawled "Mordak R," where she'd marked the place in pencil. In the process, he lacerated the palm of his hand with his talons, but that couldn't be helped.
"Females," he said. "You were about to fill me in."
"Why do you want to know about females?"
"I was thinking," Mordak replied, "maybe it's time we had some."
"What, dancing girls? Or lightly grilled on a bed of steamed spinach?"
Mordak sighed.
"As valued members of Goblin society, taking their rightful place in the hierarchy of rights, duties, and obligations."
"Oh, you mean cleaners. I can get some sent in if you want, dwarves or humans."
"Goblin females."
"Don't be stupid," she said almost kindly. "There aren't any, you know that."
"Maybe there should be."
He waited for her to reply. He counted to 20 under his breath. Then he took off the brooch that fastened the black cloak, yanked off the pin, and dropped it on the floor. There was a faint tinkle.
"Thought so," he said.
"What?"
"I heard a pin drop." "I take it," he went on, as she stared at him, "that the idea comes as a bit of a surprise."
"You broke your brooch."
"A present from King Drain. I didn't like it much anyway." "Well?"
"I don't know," she said. "It's certainly
refreshing, imaginative, radical."
"Weird," she said. "Weird as a butter churn full of ferrets."
"Why?" she demanded. "What would be the point?"
"You're asking me what's the point of females?"
"Goblin females."
"Ah, I get you. You're saying, why innovate when the goblin race is perfect as it is?"
No, actually, that's not... Hello? She said, catching sight of something. What's that?
What?
In that box under your chair.
Oh, that.
He reached forward, pulled it out, and handed it to her. She opened it and frowned.
It's an egg whisk, he said.
I can see that. She turned the handle, and the blades whirred. Not bad. What do you want it for?
It's human.
No, it's an egg whisk. If it was human, it'd have arms and legs.
Of human origin. Apparently it came from one of those new human settlements out by the old wizard's tower.
You turn the little crank, and the blades spin round and round.
You notice that too.
That's quite a neat idea, Tinnituvial said with grudging admiration. Takes much less strength and effort than the conventional type. And quicker, too.
It's a very fine egg whisk,
Mordak conceded. So what? Humans made this?
So?
It's better. She stopped abruptly. Almost as good as the elvish pattern. Better than anything the dwarves make. She looked at him. How did you say you got hold of it?
One of the scouts brought it back.
He found it, on a trash heap.
Look, what about my goblin women idea? I want your honest opinion. What do you think?
I think, she said, frowning, that people who can make something as ingenious and advanced as this, and then throw it away even though it's still working just fine, are not your ordinary run-of-the-mill humans. She looked at him. What do we know about these colonists?
But don't look at me. You're the one who gets all the reports.
We know nothing about these colonists, she amended. Which won't do at all. I'll send out more scouts.
You do that. Listen, what about goblin females? Do you think it's a good idea or not?
Straight away, I don't like this. We need to find out about these humans. Just look at the work that's gone into this, she went on, turning the whisk over and staring hard at the flywheel. That's a casting, not forged. And look at how evenly the gear teeth are cut. I bet if you measured it with a pair of dwarvish calipers, you'd find it was made to really fine tolerances, like maybe thousandths of an inch, which is why it runs so smoothly.
Fascinating. So you think I should go ahead then?
And it's plated. Not with silver, it's something much harder than silver. A bit like mithril, I guess. But it isn't that. Something harder and shinier than mithril, then. The dwarves are going to be livid when they find out about this.
Or would it be better to forget the whole idea and carry on as we are?
And what this stuff on the hand grip is, I have absolutely no idea. It's not horn, it's not bone, it's not ivory. It's definitely not any kind of wood.
Mordak reached out, grabbed the egg whisk, and took it away from her.
Hey, she snapped, I was looking at that.
For crying out loud, he said. Get over it, will you? It's a kitchen appliance, that's all.
She made a half-hearted grab for the whisk, then glared at him. You don't get it, do you?
Get what?
Look at it. Go on. Look. Well?
It's an egg whisk.
Fine.
The basilisk stare. Elves do it so well.
Now, I want you to ask yourself, what sort of people go to all the time and trouble and expense on a gadget for fluffing up egg whites?
I don't know, do I? Idiots?
She shook her head.
Look at it another way, she said. If they can come up with something like this, just so as to produce a better omelette, what else do you think they're capable of making?